KSL at night. KSL at night.
And you're back with us on KSL at night alongside Rusty Cannon. I'm your KSL legal analyst, Greg Skordis, and we're going to talk about a legal case that I think has been saturated pretty well.
It's been around.
But I just can't get it out of my mind. I had the pleasure, I guess, of going to Boise this week, Ada County, sitting in the courthouse there and watching the opening statements. And I sat by a dear friend of mine, Adam Small, KSL News Radio reporter, who's going to join us for this segment, and just kind of For me, Rusty, I'm a trial lawyer. I go to court. I don't watch court. I don't like watch other attorneys, except when I'm waiting for my name to be called. But it's not like I sit down and watch a trial. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting for me to see this trial unfold, you know, from the legal perspective, just to kind of like, and it's like when you watch a movie and you see lawyers, you go, I would never do that. But I'm watching these lawyers, prosecutor, which I did for 8 years, defense attorney, which I've done for 34 years. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of like, well, you know, what would I have done? How would I have reacted to this? And it's really been an interesting process. But I'm kind of looking at it from that angle. Mm-hmm. We have with us Adam Small, KSL News Radio reporter, who's going to talk to us from the, I guess, more objective person on the street standpoint. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Greg, Rusty, good to be with you. And Greg, if it means anything, I've got pretty much every courtroom, knowledge I have from suits. So this is a learning experience for me too.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Harvey
okay.
Specter. Yep. Love suits.
So Adam, talk to us, because I have my take and you've probably heard it. What you saw in the opening remarks, were you surprised? Did you feel like, and I think you were there for some of Lori Vallow's trial, but what did you think about the opening remarks?
Well, I thought the state, it almost seemed like a continuation. Like, it seemed like they took a little more time establishing their case. Like when you and I were talking up there, it seemed like they took a little bit more time, setting up their case and opening statements for Lori's case last year versus this year. It kind of just seems like a continuation. Like it's almost like, part two. Hey, we've talked about some of this before. Obviously, it's a brand new jury, but it seems like they didn't take as much time and they're like, hey, and we have our case set. This is what we're going to go over, but it didn't take as much time to actually outline their entire case. I don't think their opening statements were necessarily like bad or anything. I just think like they got straight to the point. Like I think Rob Woods, the Madison County prosecutor, took what, 10, 20 minutes tops. And John Pryor, Chad's attorney, I was particularly impressed with his defense because as we had been talking, Lori's attorneys in her trial were relying on the state having just their case wasn't strong enough. And that was really their whole defense. John Pryor came out with, I've got an expert from Boise State who's going to talk DNA, fingerprints. I got four of Tammy Daybell and Chad Daybell's kids are going to come to the stand. And he, I also thought he did a very good job in his position of trying to create a reasonable doubt when there seems to be so much evidence against Chad in this case. I was particularly impressed with him.
Adam, can I go back to the state's opening with you for just a minute? Because I loved your take. He started with the sort of Chad being this author and the writing these books and whatnot. And then his opening followed chapters. He said chapter one was sort of Chad with Tammy and their five children, but that wasn't very interesting. Chapter two, Lori comes into it, and then it proceeds from there. Did you find that compelling? Did you think that was sort of an interesting way to do it?
I thought it was interesting for sure. I still think it was compelling. I'd say the most compelling thing that I heard the prosecution bring forward was the closing arguments in Lori's trial last year, where they just kept going. They re-showed a couple of the autopsy photos. Like, they went over some of that evidence again. That was very raw to hear. This one wasn't quite as much because they're now just getting into presenting evidence. But I do think it was compelling because it seemed like almost like a, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, but like they noted that again, Chad was an author. So, and Rob was basically like, okay, well, I'm going to set this up like a novel for you guys. Like he's going right at Chad. Like, and he starts off with the phrase, three dead bodies. And yeah, it maybe slows down a little bit as he goes over chapter by chapter. But I still think he did a pretty good job at actually setting up the, hey, these kids are dead because XYZ. This woman, this school librarian is dead because XYZ. Maybe a little bit slower at times, but I still think it was compelling in my opinion.
And then, Adam, you talked about Pryor, the defense attorney's opening statement, and he outlined four experts. And as I recall, there is a DNA expert. There's an anthropological forensic expert who's going to talk about sort of the bones and whatnot was found, and a medical examiner, which I assume, Adam, is going to rebut the state's medical examiner as it relates to the cause of death of Tammy. And I'm just sort of reading between the lines. And then there was an expert on, I'll think of it just a minute, fingerprints. So, but did it surprise you that the defense was calling that number of experts and give you the impression that, hey, they're in this all the way? They're going after the state's case?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised for sure. And maybe it's just because, you know, my first real trial experience was Lori's trial last year when, again, the defense didn't call a single witness. They didn't present anything. They just it kind of shocked us in the newsroom. I remember the day it happened where they're like, yep, defense rests. Like, we don't think the state has a strong case. So when John Pryor comes out and he's like, I've got, you know, this doctor from Boise State University, he's going to talk about DNA fingerprints, and he's going to testify to you that Chad, not a single DNA or fingerprint on anything was Chad's or anything like that. And he's like, I'm going to bring in, you know, four of their kids who's going to talk about, you know, Tammy's health before she died, and that apparently she was trying some things or didn't want to go to the doctor. At least that's what they're claiming. And it comes up with three or four people. And on top of that, he's using like a logical argument to try to create doubt when he's looking the jury right in the eye. It definitely caught me off guard, because for how much evidence there is in this case, for how tangled of a web it is, and how, in at least in Lori's case, they already outlined a lot of stuff that they accused Chad of being involved in. It was surprisingly strong, and that it I feel like John Pryor has done as good of a job as you can of actually creating doubt, because that is his whole job in this thing. So yeah, it was definitely caught me off guard.
So I have a question both for you, Greg, and for Adam. As myself, someone who always wished he would have went to law school, and my wealth of knowledge is only from Suits, and then the movie that taught me that I apparently stand up at some point and say, did you or did you not order the code red? Right.
You know,
that's my extent of knowledge. But
right.
Is there a strategy as to how many cards you lay on the table for both sides at this point? You know, I don't know. Do they show all their cards or do you not do that?
If that's all right, Adam. I really think that, and I'll be interested in Adam's sort of response to this, but I really think opening statements, you need to come out and show the jury your case. You need to tell them what you're going to do. I was disappointed with the state for going through the chapter thing. Mm-hmm. When I was a prosecutor, I would tell the jury, here are my witnesses and here's what they're going to say. Here's the evidence that you're going to hear, instead of Chad was this, chapter one was this, then Lori comes in. So I think, to me, but I don't know. I mean, Adam might find the other approach different, but to me, openings, you don't leave anything on the table. What do you think, Adam, in terms of what the state did?
Yeah, I agree with you a little bit on that point, because, like, obviously, definitely not saying it was weak or anything. I do the compelling nature was still there. But yeah, that was one thing too. When I looked back at the witnesses, the only witness that they named before they called their first witness to the stand, Detective Hermosillo of the Rexburg Police Department, the only one they named was Alex Cox, who's Lori's deceased brother, who's accused of being a co-conspirator. His widow, his wife, is going to take the stand. But they didn't really name anyone else outside of an FBI agent or maybe some other law enforcement. And yeah, I feel like at times, like, you know, if you want to set up an argument and come out strong out of the gates, I'm not saying I necessarily would lead with a chapter set up. While I get where they were going, I think at times it's like, if you set it up like a novel, sometimes there's a part of the book that comes off a little slower when, you know, there are times where they come out right out of the gate, three dead bodies, maybe it slows down, you start to lose that momentum a little bit. When I felt like John Pryor specifically did not lay off the gas pedal, and I think that was kind of the difference between the two.
Exactly. Adam, I wish we had some time. I wanted to ask you about your take on Hermosillo. We'll save that for next time, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.